Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Now, Diane Ihearway joins me on the line, right, to tell me about her incredible story. She arrived in Ireland as a 16-year-old with no English to becoming a Trinity student. Diane, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm good. How have you been during lockdown?
It's been, you know, up and down like everyone else. Boys
yeah.
band.
Yeah, yeah.
We
yeah.
can see the end, hopefully.
There's light at the end of the tunnel with the news yesterday. So listen, your story came to my attention recently and I'd love to share with my listeners because you arrived in Ireland alone at 16 with no English. You left the Congo. Can you describe the Africa that you had left?
The Africa that I left was beautiful in terms of, you know, the people, the community, the village raising kids. But at the same time, it was, you know, lots of, there was a war happening, was still happening today. Lots of fights and conflicts between people, between countries, between governments and its population. It was, although it had so many good things in terms of, you know, the community spirit, it had so many gruesome really reality of living there, especially as a woman.
So I have to ask you, when you arrived here, what did you think? Did you think, what is going on in this place? What were your first thoughts of Ireland?
I thought, Jesus Christ, this country has so many dogs.
We have loads of dogs.
Dogs everywhere. Everywhere.
So yeah, that was your first thought. That was your first thought. But you ended up in direct provision. Can you tell me, I mean, we hear the stories, we read it online and in the papers, but from someone who's lived there, what is it like, Diane?
Direct provision is, I like to tell people to imagine the last few months, you know, the lockdown, the not seeing people that you love, the isolation, the, you know, people losing their jobs, the uncertainty of what's coming. That is life in direct provision, except it's every single day. Like, you can wake up and go into the kitchen, although we are locked up, you know, right now in the lockdown, but you can go in your kitchen and make your favorite cup of tea. You can, you know, shop for your kids for their favorite toys. People in the direct provision are really in lockdown forever. There is no end, you know, there's no really end to their time in there. They don't know what's coming. Also, it's just inhumane in terms of we have kids growing up into the system that we do know is damaging their physical being, their emotional,
mental,
their intellectual, everything. It's damaging physically and emotionally, but we are allowing that because for the majority and for the government, we think, you know, we're giving you food, we're giving you a roof over your head, that should be enough. But you need to remember that, like most people, like myself, where I came from, I had food, I had a roof over my head. You know, we don't come to seek asylum for food and the bed. We don't come to seek asylum for that. We come to seek asylum for many various different reasons. And these issues in terms of being left dormant in a place that you don't know what's coming, you don't know if it's going to end, damages further. You know, there's so much damage that comes to living in a place with no end to it. You know, people come here with trauma already. You know, there's so much trauma that
of course
people bring with.
You've come from a war-torn country.
Yeah.
You come here for asylum, for help, and you're literally locked away to rot away.
And just sit down and wait. And I keep telling people how we have so much talent in the provision that is just, like, I know people who've been in there for 14 years and their life is to wake up, go downstairs, have breakfast, come upstairs, sleep, wake up again, go have lunch, come upstairs, sleep, go down, have dinner, come up and sleep. That is their life for 14 years.
And what do they want to work? Let's be clear. They want to have purpose and meaning to their lives, right? That's all they want.
Absolutely. Because I keep telling people, like, direct provision, asylum seekers, I'm the face of direct provision. I'm the face of an asylum seeker. I'm not a scrounger. I'm not a sponger. I'm not if Dave, I'm not, I didn't come to steal your job or to steal your counter house. I just came for safety, for sanctuary, for that peace of mind. And today I'm a practicing social worker. I believe I left my home for a reason, and I came to this country to make it my home and see it prosper and see this country, you know, benefit from my being here. And that's what asylum seekers need. They need to be treated as human beings that have so much to offer, not just asylum seekers, but human beings with real stories and real talent.
Listen, we were looking for the same years ago when we emigrated all those years ago to places like America and Australia. We were looking for help and we wanted to work and we wanted to better our lives. And thank God those countries welcomed us. Can I ask you about so you bounced around actually different direct provision centres. What was the total amount of time you were in that system?
I was in the system for 4 years.
4 years. Now, can we talk about your life after direct provision? You were a victim of domestic abuse when you were in a relationship some years ago. You left them and the people you turned to really, really helped turn your life around. Isn't that right?
They really did. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So, yeah, absolutely.
And who are they? Who are we talking about here?
We're talking about, again, there's so many people that really supported me. But for me, the person that really turned my life around is a lady called Sandra. And I keep telling people that to me, Sandra isn't just a name. Sandra embodies everything good, everything humanly, you know. Sandra was a woman that came into my life when everyone else failed me. You know, the country failed me, the government failed me. People around me had failed me for so many different reasons, but she saw me for who I was, just a young person needing help, a young person needing guidance and support. And she did offer me that in the most respectful manner.
Where'd you find her? Where was
She worked from Barbados. Yeah, she was a worker from Barbados. So, like, yeah, I called so many different organizations looking for help because, as I said, as an asylum seeker, I wasn't just an asylum seeker. I was a person looking for, you know, to better myself. And I called so many people to get support and get help. And I didn't fit into so many thresholds, you know, as we know, all the tick boxes, all the, you know, the paperwork. I didn't fit into any of them. But she just listened to me and she said, you know, I don't think we can support you, but I'm going to come down and see you. I'm going to come down and talk to you. And that was the beginning of an amazing life that I have. Yeah, because she really just listened to me and she was extremely respectful. I wasn't just another child. I wasn't just another asylum seeker. I wasn't just another poor story. And I wasn't a file. I was Diane. And
how
she really
old
just
were you, Diane? How old were you when you had that conversation with Sandra? Do you remember roughly how old you were?
Yeah, I was 19, yeah.
So you said, you are young. So did you? What path did she put you on? Or how did how did she help you?
She just really, she didn't come in with you know, words, extreme professional words, with, you know, too much knowledge. Of course she had knowledge, but she let me be me. So she asked me one question. She goes, Diane, what would you like to do?
Okay.
What would you like to do? And I said, I'd love to go back to school. And that was it. Because the social workers had taken me out of school. Like as I said, so many professionals had failed me. I wasn't in school. And all I wanted was to go back to school and be somebody. Not be an asylum seeker. Not be a single mom. Not be anything. Just go back to school and see the potential that I knew I had. That I wish people saw in me and believed in me. And she did.
Well, you made a show of everybody because you're waiting to graduate from Trinity. My God.
Well, yeah, I'm basically graduating. I'm working at the moment. We're just waiting for the date. Yeah, but
that
yeah.
is incredible. So you went back to school.
Yeah.
Are you a mom at this stage? You're a single parent at this stage, going back to school.
Yes, I was a single parent. No, actually, no. When I went back to school, I wasn't a single parent. I was in a relationship. But yeah.
Okay.
Then I was a single parent. Yeah.
So tell me about your going through the education system. What was that like for you?
It was very difficult. You know, like I couldn't really speak English. You know, like sitting in a class full of kids and you know, kids laughing at you because you can't really say the words properly. You know, like, I still think in French. My mind works and operates in French. So at least now I have the words to express my English to come out of my mouth.
Yeah, but very
back
well.
Then, my English was, how are you? Good morning. You know, really the simple words. It was extremely difficult because I knew what I wanted.
My God.
I knew what I wanted. And at that stage, just to say, at that stage, I didn't have residency yet. I didn't have papers to live in this country. No, I didn't. So everything really was against me in terms of my documentation, my English, my, you know, living arrangement. Everything was against me. But Sandra was the only consistent, trusting person that was always there and always listening.
Thank God for Sandra.
Yeah, she's amazing.
What do you want to do with your life?
I just really just want to be a social worker. I want to, again, to tell people that I am the face of asylum seekers. We are not dangerous people. We are not people who come over here to, again, steal your job or steal your car or steal your house. We leave our homes for many different reasons, and we just want to make Ireland our country. We want to make this country our own, just like all of you want to add the value of this country. We just want to be seen as people who want to contribute and make this country, as Americans say, great again, you know, even greater.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
Listen, come here to me. Diane, are you sure you want to give back to a country that rejected you and let you down so badly? Are you sure you want to do that?
100%. Because having said that, this country read Sandra.
Yeah.
This is a country where Sandra came from.
It's
this
a
is a country where, for so many reasons, although I was failed by many people, I have received so much by so many.
You haven't stopped giving back, because not only that, you co-founded the Young Mothers Network, a support group for mothers living in direct provision centres. What kind of work do you do there?
So we work with women who live in direct provision centres and their children. And, you know, people always ask me, what's the hardest thing of living in direct provision? For me, it's the loneliness, you know. It's extremely lonely because where we come from, we have this community spirit kind of living experience where the village raises your kids, the village is there for you. But direct provision, you open the door and you enter into that hotel room and that's all you have. That's all the space you have. So the loneliness within the provision center is extreme. So the Young Mothers Network is a space where women and their children come. We meet every second Monday. They come and, you know, a chance to wake up and put on your makeup, a chance to wake up and dress your kids, a chance to go into a bus and go into town for a purpose. So we have different educational courses. We have speakers. We have outings. We also have just a day to come and just be a woman. Not an asylum seeker, not a mother, just you by yourself, because we have childcare on the side as well. It was important for us to give these women a space to be themselves, not mothers or wives or asylum seekers or whatever. Just be you. So we provide that, we provide information, we provide counselling service, provide loads of different things for women who, again, for so many reasons, see themselves as failures, but we remind them that they are amazing and important women.
So it's the Young Mothers Network. If anybody wants to give or help or do anything for that, for your network, how can they get in touch?
So I can, we don't have social media or anything because, again, there's so many...
Because they can't use it.
The privacy of women.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for us women, again, because these women are known as asylum seekers. We're taking away that label.
Yeah.
But we know I post a lot about it, and I can definitely send you emails and how to get in touch.
Yeah.
With
can
you
send it to me? Send it to me.
I will.
I'd be very interested in helping that out. And oh, Jesus, it's never ending. You also co-launch Rooted in Africa and Ireland, an anti-racism network that aims to build understanding and pride in African heritage, especially for young African Irish people. Why did you feel a need to do that?
Because we last year we had one of the young, there's a young person who died, I think her name was Mia O'Neill. She killed herself because she was being racially bullied. And that wasn't an incident that happened in isolation. There were so many other incidents, kids being you know, into deep depression because of being racially bullied. There's loads of racism basically happening on our streets, in schools, and no one was doing or saying anything about it. Yes, there's so many reports happening, there's so many surveys happening, there's so much good work happening on the macro level of eradicating racism, but there was nothing being done on the ground. You know, someone to go and advocate for these people facing racism, someone to talk to these children and tell them, do you know what, your black is beautiful, being black and being Irish is 100% possible, and it shouldn't be something to be ashamed of, it should be something to be celebrated. So Rooted in Africa and Ireland is an initiative that, you know, we want to instill pride of being black, pride of being African, pride of standing tall. Because if someone tells you, go back to where you come from, if you really know where you came from, you really won't care. Mm. You know, if you tell me, go back to where you came from, I come from whatever I come from, but Ireland is my country too.
Yeah.
So we want to instill that love, not just for African kids, but also for all the other kids, for Irish kids, for, you know, Polish kids. We want to instill love. We want to show other people what really Africa is. Africa isn't a hellhole. Africa is a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place that has so many riches. We want to instill that love, that pride, that to stand tall and say, yes, I am African. Yes, I am rooted in Africa, but I'm also Irish. And there's nothing you can do about that because I know who I am.
Come here, Diane. Tell me about your two kids.
I don't have two kids. I have four kids.
What? It says down here you have two. You have four. So hang on. You're about to graduate from Trinity. You're working away and you have to deal with four bleeding kids, Diane.
Yes, I do. I had three boys. I was looking for a girl and I finally got a girl.
Good on you. Good on you.
I have three boys and a girl, yeah.
Do they think you're mad?
They do. Oftentimes, they think I'm mad. But actually, like, you know, what mother isn't mad?
No, we're all mad. They must be so proud of you.
I hope they are. I really hope they are. Because,
well, you're setting an amazing example. And what are they like? How are they getting on with school and all that kind of stuff? And are they getting on okay?
Yeah, they're getting on okay. You know, they love their school, and most especially they love being black and being Irish.
Good.
And that's something I tell them. And that's one thing we want to, you know, we want to tell families, please talk about being black and being Irish. Talk to your kids about it because it is a superpower. It is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with it.
Oh, gosh, so well said. Can I just say something to you before I let you go, Diane? The text messages are absolutely flooding in for you, saying what an amazing person you are. Blown away by Diane. What a queen. Good luck to her. Someone else says, I have African neighbours and they are the kindest and loveliest people. We hand each other cans of beer over the wall, give each other Christmas presents and babysit each other's kids. Great people. I'm so lucky to have them as my pals. Texts are still coming into 51552. You are an absolute credit to your country, this country. I am so happy to have spoken to you. Diane, best of luck with everything you do. Will you keep in touch with the show and let us know how you're getting on?
Absolutely, I do. I will. Definitely.
And if you message me all the details, I love the sound of that network, Young Mothers Network, and I'd love to do what I can to help out if you need anything. So keep
Thank
me up
you.
To date with that. And
Thank
good luck
you.
With your four kids. You're crazy.
Thanks very much.
Bye, Diane. Bye.
Thanks,
bye, 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 bye. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.